Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. What a beautiful day out there today.
If you're a duck.
Let's go attack it. Great to be with you. Brandon Gowden, BleedingGreenNation.com coming up. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling tomorrow. Dan Wernsberger, the head wrestling coach of Bucknell, will join us. Next week, Jack Hamm, Jim Brandstetter, among others. Always enjoy the among others. I'll get Dick Girardi into the mix, too, here at some point, because basketball starts this weekend.
Yeah, it's the overlap time of year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I have two overlaps every year. The two overlaps, of course, are the baseball season transitioning into football and, obviously, football into basketball. Both I embrace, both I love. I love the change of pace very, very much. Change of pace is exciting to me. I always look forward to that transition time where I'm doing two of my favorite things in life, a football game and a basketball game. Not bad. Great to have everybody on board today. Kevin getting ready for postseason play at the home of the Trojan Horse, Jersey Shore. Kevin, welcome. Great to have you with us. They can't wait to get their hands on you.
We'll find out. I'm just going up there, calling a game, having fun.
Sounds simple on the surface. They can't wait to get to you. All right. We're going to introduce today three new features on the show. Actually, we have four features on the show. One is about to happen. The Kevin Herr Memo of the Day. Filled with the usual rants and vitriol.
I have to look up vitriol. Hang on a minute.
It's okay. It's right up there with rant.
It's past my eighth grade vocabulary. Sorry.
This week in sports history, we'll get that debuting at 3:35. We're going to have a play-by-play call of the day at 4:06. Every day we're going to do this. Our sports bozo of the day. Some days I'll pick it. Some days Kevin will pick it. But you'd be surprised at the multitude of candidates every day. We'll have Brandon Gowden at 3:35, Jeff Byers at 4:06. The topics that Kevin has laid out today. Who would start Ben against Cleveland if they thought he was healthy later?
Actually,
in the
that should
week?
Be there, there's oh, a wait, typo. Wait. Would you start?
No, he's not healthy enough to play.
Well, at this point, they are still leaving the door open if he's healthy enough to play to start. I personally think that's a bad idea.
Oh, I think it's his gamesmanship that they're playing with him, that's all.
Yeah, I have that same feeling, I just don't think you need it.
It's just gamesmanship.
Now, let's say he's ready to play. All right, for the sake of argument, let's say he's ready to play. Start Landry Jones, see what happens. If you have to bring him in, then bring him in. I just don't think you'll need to. It scares me to say that, but I actually have a little confidence in Landry Jones against Cleveland.
Kevin, I think it's this is a case where Ben Roethlisberger will be inactive on Sunday. He will not be one of the two quarterbacks. Who's your favorite for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame this year? Ken Griffey Jr. I think Ken Griffey Jr. will make it, Mike Piazza will make it, and I think Trevor Hoffman might make it.
Is this Jr.'s second time on the ballot?
First time.
Is it first? Okay.
Brand new, fresh.
Yeah, but you know you have those guys.
Home runs.
You know you have those guys that'll sit there and go, oh, I'm not voting for him on the first ballot.
He'll get 90%. You won't get 100, you won't get 95, but he'll get 90%.
Please tell me why you don't vote for a guy on the first ballot. Why?
Don't look at me. I have no issue with it.
I've heard writers say that. Oh, I'm not voting. I won't vote for him because it's his first time on the ballot and he needs to wait. Why? It's Ken Griffey Jr. There are two things that I can say about Ken Griffey Jr. and feel confident. Every time he came to the plate, if I was a pitcher, I was nervous. Number two, there was never a question of whether it was done naturally or not with him.
Well,
I mean, was there any PED talk with him at all? I don't remember hearing
any.
Never. And in my mind, that automatically, for those two reasons, he's in. First ballot, second ballot, eighth ballot, doesn't matter.
90%, he'll get 90% of the vote. Piazza's going to be right around the 75% mark. I think Hoffman's going to be around the 75% mark.
Are there anybody new on the list besides Griffey that you think? Hoffman's another one. You mentioned that.
Trevor Hoffman.
Right. But then you have Jim Edmonds. Does he make it in first ballot?
No,
I don't think so.
He doesn't make it in period.
I don't see anybody else on this brand new list of Billy Wagner, Garrett Anderson, Troy Gloss, Mike Sweeney, David Eckstein, or Mike Hampton.
None of them will break that group you just talked about. None of them will break 30%. Edmonds might break 30%, but again, Jim Edmonds is a case of being a really, really, really good player who's not a Hall of Famer.
Now, you talk about questions about PEDs. What about Mike Piazza, who was just under 70% last year? Does he make it in this year, and why didn't he make it in last year?
I can't speak for why people vote or don't vote. I know how I'd vote. I would have voted him yes.
I mean, is it because there's a question about him and PED?
Probably, but I don't have that question, so...
This just in that Andrew Luck is out 2 to 6 weeks with a lacerated kidney in the Sunday win over Denver.
Ooh.
Wow. That's huge.
That's bad.
That's huge.
That's bad.
Well, that's bad for him. It's huge
but it's bad for him. I'm talking about that's bad for him. I don't really care.
You're not talking about the game.
I could care less about the Colts. A lacerated kidney is not anything to kid. Is not anything to sit there and he's got a lot. No, that's serious. Let's see. Did you notice the home team had issues with stadium noise last night? This happens a lot in stadiums across the South. You have a lot of transplanted people all over the country that had their allegiance in the Northeast. When the Steelers go to play at Tampa Bay, how many Steeler fans are there? When the Eagles go to play Arizona, how many Eagle fans are there? How many Giants fans show up in San Diego or in Miami or Jacksonville? This happens a lot. Tennessee, transplanted Northerners who grew up with these teams, and they turned out that it was who the Chargers play Monday night. They played the Chicago Bears. Well, there are a lot of transplanted people from the Midwest that have now gone to Arizona and Southern California. Well, their team showed up, and they showed up. This has been a problem for a long time. The problem would also, U.S. says, is this the end of the Chargers in San Diego? Don't know. If I'm the NFL, I don't do what they're talking about, what they're doing. I think you need to put a team in Los Angeles, see how it works, and give it the best shot at working. Then if it really is working and you see that you have the door opening there to put another team in there, go ahead. But I think the NFL does not need to put two teams in L.A. They need to be smart and put one in to give the market and that team the best shot at succeeding, where all the resources are thrown into that team, and then if you feel the market can sustain another team, then move another team in there.
See, I'm with you on a few things there, but the one thing that I'm not quite with you about is I think there's more to it than just the popularity of, say, the Steelers, because it was a problem then, and the popularity of the Bears. I think this is a San Diego issue for this entire year, because they work on silent counts because of it.
Kevin, slow down.
Okay.
Slow down.
All right.
This has been the issue there and other places for years. It just has more prominence because they might move.
I just found this interesting that they were working on a silent count at home.
Yeah, but they've always done that because that's always been the issue. You have a lot of transplanted people that go to games in these areas. Tampa has a huge problem with it.
I know it's a baseball issue for them, yeah.
San Diego's always had an issue with it. Hey, for goodness sakes, look at the Orioles, for God's sakes. The Baltimore Orioles have tremendous problems keeping Red Sox and Yankee fans out of the park. And I don't know what I don't want to say. Of all the teams there, I really don't care if Oakland moves. I think if St. Louis moves, I can see Jacksonville moving to St. Louis. I'm bothered by San Diego moving. They've been there now for 55 years. I mean, that's a long time and a lot of heritage and tradition. The Rams haven't been in St. Louis that long. The Raiders have been vagabonds back and forth. And plus, let's face it, the 49ers are right there. San Diego's the one that bugs me a little bit. I'm bothered. And I know the politics there is not great. And remember we had the writer on from the San Diego Times Union talk about San Diego State, and I spent the last part of the interview discussing the situation with the Chargers?
Right.
That's because I've done a lot of reading up on the. I have done a lot of reading up on the San Diego situation. That's why when I had him on, you notice that the questions were pretty direct. He even said to me later in the press box, he says, "You obviously have been reading our paper." I said, "Yeah, I have been." And that's this goes a little bit deeper. This is a huge political issue. That's why when I asked about the environmental impact statement. He said, "That question kind of blew me away." I said, "Yeah." I said, "As I read it in the paper." He says, "Yeah." So I think that the problem they have there is twofold. I think it's part of, like, the team hanging on by a thread in the market, and also the fact that there are a lot of transplants that live there. That goes back to that great line by Jack Kent Cooke when he owned the Los Angeles Kings. Jack Kent Cooke at one time owned the Redskins, the Lakers, and the Kings. And they were asking him why the Kings weren't successful. He said, "Well, we did a lot of surveys. And we noticed in our surveys there were a lot of transplanted Canadians." He said, "So we put a team in Los Angeles. And you know what we found out? They left Canada because they don't like hockey." We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Back in the neighborhood, only friends and family got these kinds of deals.
Now you can get the inside deals too from Sunbury Motors Ford with friends and neighbors pricing for everyone. SMC will give you the same price Ford employees give their friends and neighbors, which is exclusive, no-hassle pricing. Pick from over 450 new Fords with savings up to $11,120. All vehicles will be clearly marked on the lot, or just go to sunburymotors.com. Pick out your vehicle, see the friends and neighbors price, and bring it in. Everyone is eligible and all rebates apply. Choose from the area's largest selection of F-150s with over 125 available. Pick from over 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escapes with the lowest prices ever offered to the general public. This special friends and neighbors pricing is for a limited time only, so hurry in for the best selection.
We'll make you an offer you cannot refuse.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania for over a century.
800-795-9565. Dick, we apologize for making you wait. Dick in Milton joins us. Hello, my friend.
Hey, that's fine. I just wanted to comment about the Orioles, my team, not the Cowboys. Anyhow, what I was going to tell you, the reason the Orioles get so many Yankee and Red Sox fans is because a lot of them can't get into the ballpark or afford to go to the games in either Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium. And it's close, especially for Yankee fans, and it's a lot cheaper. And there's Yankee fans everywhere and Red Sox fans everywhere, but they can get into Camden Yards a lot easier. They're going to get into Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park. That's the main reason right there.
I went to Camden Yards at the upper deck to see a Red Sox Orioles game with my sons, and Dick, the entire upper deck happened to be Red Sox fans. I was taken aback by. I looked around and said, "Well, kids, we're not alone."
No, I go down to Camden Yards, and generally we go when the Yankee plays, play there, because my friends are all big Yankee fans, and I know what it's like. But the Oriole fans down there that even have season ticket holders will sell their tickets to Yankees or Red Sox fans. But it is a lot cheaper for that person to go there, especially the big Yankee fans, and they're everywhere. They can't. It's prohibitive almost to go to Yankee Stadium sometimes to see a baseball game if you can get in at all.
Agreed.
Cost-wise.
You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that. The cost to go to a Yankee fan is, I mean, to go to a Yankee game is off the charts at Yankee Stadium.
And I'm not sure there, because Fenway Park not being as large, is how hard it is to even get a ticket up there. I'm not sure about that.
What? Dick, I've never had trouble. Now, I have to freely admit, I do have two great connections up there that have opened the door for me, but I've never had trouble.
And it made it a lot easier to get a ticket at Camden Yards once they put the Washington team in back in Washington. It took about 30% of the Oriole fan base away. That's just the nature of the beast. That's just what they did there. People who live in Southern Virginia or parts of Virginia and Washington are in that area in Washington, D.C., who used to come up for the Camden Yards all the time. Now go see the Nationals play.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why the Peter Angelos wanted to block Washington getting the franchise, because he felt that he was getting a nice pipeline from that market to Baltimore.
Well, the only thing that bothered me about that is when they went through the mechanics of to seeing where they were going to put this ball team, Las Vegas, New Orleans, you name all the spots that they had in line, and they knew they were going to put it in Washington. So to me, it was an exercise in futility. I'm not even sure why they went through the mechanics of that in the first place, because they were going to go to Washington all along. That's just the way they were going to do it. But I think they did it to make these other cities happy or feel like they were part of the mix, I guess.
It's part of the bureaucracy, and you and I both know that. It's all.
You mean you have hockey, you have baseball, or hockey, and you have a football, and you have basketball in Carolina, and lots and lots and lots and lots of people in that area, and they don't have a Major League Baseball team other than Atlanta. They don't have one in Carolina, which I've never understood.
No.
That's just the way it is.
You know,
anyhow,
what's interesting is that Charlotte, I've done some research on markets and expansion and so forth. Charlotte is a good-sized market, but it's not as big a market as people think it is. And I found that to be enlightening when I was reading that, in terms of metro area and so forth that a baseball team would have to draw from.
Well, I think they probably could support it both. You don't have to build an 80,000-90,000-seat stadium anymore,
no,
like a football fan
right.
to play. And you can get away with a 35,000, 39,000, 41,000-seat stadium, and which is actually more fan-friendly to watch a baseball game anyhow.
I completely agree.
Now, if you can't afford to, I don't know if you could afford to pay a team. They afford to pay basketball players on 15,000 to 20,000 seat playing surface or courts. And of course, the only problem they're going to run into is there's not going to be enough days a year to play to pay these guys pretty soon. I mean, they make so much money.
They just got a $2.6 billion TV package. There's
the
difference maker right there.
The only way they could do it, because obviously there's just, I mean, they start playing whatever, and they play all the way till the middle of June now, or some right. ridiculous amount of time, you know. Anyhow, that's the story for the Yankee, Camden Yards. That's the only place I really ever go. All right, see ya.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. Bottom of the hour, and time now for a news update. And then this day in sport history, followed by Brandon Gowden from BleedingGreenNation.com as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Brandon Gowden in a few moments. Time now for This Day in Sports History. 1928, Newt Rockne made his famous win one for the Gipper speech on this day.
at halftime of a tie game between Notre Dame and Army. When it got to the movie, Ronald Reagan played the Gipper. 1940, the Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles played to a penalty-free NFL game. There is no way on the planet that any teams from Pittsburgh and Philadelphia playing each other now would ever have a penalty-free game.
No way.
1957, 102,368 people attended the Niners-Rams game at the L.A. Coliseum. The crowd, a regular season record for the NFL. Also on this date, Bernie Kosar, 1991, ended his NFL record streak of 308 passes without an interception. And in 1991, Martina Navratilova tied Chris Everett's record of 157 career titles. The two of them have added rooms onto their houses for hardware. That is this date in sports history. Brandon Gatton, BleedingGreenNation.com, joins us. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's great to have you with us, my friend, once again. And a little happier tale to tell. Let's start with Sam Bradford. Has he found a comfort level or is on the path to finding a comfort level with what Chip Kelly wants to do?
I definitely think he's on the path. I mean, you look at the game he had against the Cowboys, and to me, it was really one of the first times that I saw Sam Bradford look like the guy that I saw in training camp and in the preseason. He was delivering accurate passes for what felt like the first time in a long time. He wasn't making bad mistakes. He just really felt in control, and you know, it was a real encouraging performance, especially if he can build on this.
Then there's Jordan Matthews, who made the big play in overtime to win this game for them. He's been a prime target for them. What's allowed him to succeed?
Yeah, in recent weeks, I mean, he's struggled with drops, so that's obviously been a big issue. He did not have any drops against the Cowboys. Matthews has been working really hard, as Chip Kelly has said. You know, Chip Kelly said he thinks he saw the best practice week ever out of Jordan Matthews heading into the Cowboys game. So I think he's had those drops on his mind, and I think he's been working especially hard to make sure those don't happen again. He's a talented player. I mean, it's just he's struggled this year at times, but he doesn't lack talent. I think it's really just been an issue of drops and not always being on the same page with Bradford. But obviously, you know, they were on the same page on Sunday night, and that was such a huge play to make that catch and to win the game for them.
No Jason Peters, but why is the offensive line hung in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see how well I think the Eagles' offensive line played, especially missing Jason Peters. They only really allowed one sack the whole game, and that was to Greg Hardy. Lane Johnson filling in for Jason Peters there, I think, played pretty well, especially for being his first game at left tackle in the NFL. You also look at Dennis Kelly, who moved to right tackle in place of Johnson. I think, you know, he played pretty well for a guy who you have coming off of the bench. Now, this Eagles offensive line is a lot further along than it was at the beginning of the year when there were issues with miscommunication and guys not blocking the right guy and things like that. I also think Matt Tobin coming in at right guard instead of Andrew Gardner there has really helped out the team in the run game. Now, this offensive line, like I said, has come a long way since week one.
Ryan Matthews, we've talked a lot about Murray, and Murray's done some good things for them, but what's allowed Ryan Matthews to be effective in the spot time he gets and the spots that Chip Kelly picks for him?
I think he's just a really talented player. I mean, you look at Matthews, and talent has never really been the issue with him. I think, you know, he was a first-round pick, and it just really came down to the fact that he couldn't stay healthy, and he's actually dealing with an injury now still. Chip Kelly even said Matthews didn't feel that great in practice last week. Matthews missed a day on Thursday, and I believe he was limited in practice another day. So clearly still dealing with that groin issue, which kind of explains partially why his touches are limited. But he's a talented player. It's just a matter of you know, being healthy, and also he had some fumble issues in San Diego.
Defensively, do you like the level they've maintained defensively on this team, Brandon?
Yeah, the defense has been pretty strong. It's been the strength of the team for most of the season. I think they've been a little bit less so in against Carolina and the Cowboys here. But I think missing D'Amico Ryans hurts. obviously missing, being without Jordan Hicks for the rest of the season is going to hurt. But really, yeah. for the most part, you know, the defense has been the strength of this team. You look at, you know, Fletcher Cox having another big year, Hicks having a big year up to this point. A guy who probably hasn't been talked about a whole lot, Brandon Graham, had two huge plays against the Cowboys by forcing two fumbles, and he was going up against Tyron Smith, one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Unfortunately, the Eagles didn't jump on those fumbles. If they actually recovered at least one of those or both of them, I mean, those would have been even bigger plays. But you know, the defense is definitely the strength of this team.
Which now gets me to Caleb Sturgis. Is he doing enough, in your opinion? Is he consistent? Consistent enough?
It's really surprising how, you know, he's turned things around, too. I mean, you look at this guy when he came in, and he missed, I think, two extra points within the first 2 weeks of him coming to Philadelphia, and it wasn't looking good. But he surprised everyone by hitting that 53-yarder against the Cowboys in a big spot there. So he's definitely playing well enough, especially in recent weeks, to earn his spot on this team after not really doing that when he had first signed with the team earlier in the season.
In the end, how important is it that they were able to get out of this Dallas thing, get a split, and then just move on from it?
Oh, it's huge because, you know, you look at the NFC East and there's really no clear top team there. I mean, the Giants are 5-4 right now, but they don't look too great. Their defense is still on pace to be historically bad, and they have the Patriots this week, so it's very realistic. They can drop down to 5-5. They still have a tough schedule remaining as well. Washington obviously lost to New England, and they're probably not too much in the mix there. And for the Eagles to be able to bury the Cowboys season pretty much, you know, dropping them to 2-6, and the Cowboys still have one game to go without Tony Romo at least against Tampa Bay this week. For the Eagles to drop Dallas to 2-6 and, you know, for Tony Romo to come and have to come back and dig the team out of a huge hole, which might not even be possible because Dallas still has to play in Green Bay, still have to play in Buffalo, still have to play at home against the undefeated Panthers. You know, I think it's just too big of a hole for the Cowboys to climb out of.
Brandon, now they've got the Dolphins coming up this week. Interesting team because I think it's fair to say you don't know which Dolphins team shows up from week to week.
No, I agree with you there. It's kind of a weird feel. The Eagles are apparently favored by 6.5 points. The line opened up early this week at that, so obviously someone thinks the Eagles are heavy favorites, but it is weird. I mean, you look at what this team was doing when Dan Campbell first took over, and they had two huge wins. Now, again, they were against bad teams, again, the Titans and the Texans, but still, you know, they were big wins, and there was a lot of hype around the team. Part of that makes me wonder, you know, sometimes you have these coaching changes like this, and I think guys kind of get a fire lit under them, but I don't think that can always last. You know, I think only yelling at your players can only do so much. I really wonder what this Dolphins team is going to bring to Philadelphia. I don't have a good feel for them.
In fact, no Cameron Wake on top of that, that to me is one of the bigger pluses in all of this for the Eagles. No pressure off the edge.
Yeah, and that's great because, you know, you look at Jason Peters is still in practice. He didn't practice on Tuesday. It's unclear if he'll go this week. We talked about Lane Johnson and Dennis Kelly playing well against the Cowboys, but obviously you kind of don't want to have them in there for the rest of the season. You do want to see Peters get back on the field. So it's definitely going to be key here for the Eagles to get Peters back.
Let me ask you, injury-wise, you know, who's close and who's not?
There's a lot of guys who, a lot of key guys who seems like, you know, they're still out or at least they're not close yet. I mean, we've seen Peters not really practice last week, so I can't really think that he's too close. You look at a guy like D'Amico Ryans, and he practiced just a very little bit for what it sounds like on Tuesday. And on the other hand, you have a guy like Nelson Aguilar, who was actually a full participant in practice last week, but Chip Kelly decided to hold him out last minute. So you would think the Eagles maybe are getting him back this week, especially if he can be a full participant through the week again. And Kiko Alonso is a guy who, again, full participant in practice, but the Eagles really only used him for about a third of their defensive snaps against Dallas. And today, Bill Davis said that, you know, Alonzo still kind of isn't ready for a full-time role. They're only comfortable putting in there on a rotational basis. So, you know, the Eagles are hoping he can get healthy too.
Finally, Brandon, has the win over Dallas, at least for the moment, calmed the masses?
I would say so. I think not only just that they won, just the style. I mean, it was a really fun game to watch, you know, going to overtime and winning on a walk-off touchdown like that. I think, like I said, not just the win itself, but just how it happened. I think a lot of people are optimistic about this team, and especially to looking at the schedule the rest of the way and the most immediate schedule. I mean, you have the Eagles have the Buccaneers or the Dolphins this week. They have the Buccaneers next week, and then they have the Lions on Thanksgiving. So that's a stretch where they could, you know, if they keep things up, they could go 3-0, and you know, you're looking good down the stretch.
Brandon, always a pleasure. Lots of fun talking to you. Appreciate it. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks for having me. Take care.
Brandon Gotten, BleedingGreenNation.com. Next half hour, Jeff Byers. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you extended Q&As with Governor Tom Wolf, and you have a chance to be part of the show every month. Have a question or comment about taxes, government spending, or any other topic that impacts your life? Well, send your questions and comments to Governor Wolf anytime by visiting pamatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. We'll present your questions to Governor Wolf during every show. John in Mount Lebanon wrote in, when are the politicians going to Hanover Township for our next question? And Phil writes in, will people buying food with Wilkes-Barre's our next stop? Anthony, the award-winning Ask the Governor program from Radio Pennsylvania, now featuring Governor Tom Wolf. Visit PAMatters.com to have your voice heard and to view video clips from all our Ask the Governor tapings. Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA, Top Flight Media, and PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. I'm ready to answer your questions, so stop by PAMatters.com today.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the midsize features of the 2016 Ford Fusion this week. And the reason we're talking about the Ford Fusion is you can drive one for as low as $149 a month plus tax and tags and fees, with a competitive lease and 2100 due at signing. And you could also lease one that has the sync with My Ford Touch, the reverse sensors, standard backup camera, 10 speakers, dual climate zone controls. They call it the tech package. And you could lease that for qualified buyers at $206.57 a month. $206 a month. If you don't put anything down, they can work a deal with you for $267.99 a month. That's basically everything there included. That's your payment price. So if things are rather tight and you're worried about that monthly price and the monthly payment, maybe you should check out the Ford Fusion. I guarantee you're going to have a great ride and a very comfortable mid-size vehicle from Ford that has warranty for the complete life of your lease. Find out more at Sunbury Motors Ford, North 4th Street, Sunbury. You can see the vehicle on my Facebook page and when you follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr. And later on this week, we'll do a Periscope video of it when it isn't raining outside.
Well, everything's a qualifier now with you.
Well, you know, I don't want to do it when it's all, you know, wet and drippy out.
Wet and drippy out?
Wet and drippy.
Wow.
Because I don't want to get the iPad drippy.
See, again, the key is whether your stuff gets wrecked.
Yes. I'm not going to deny that. It is definitely surrounding me on that one. Yes.
Next half hour, Jeff Byers, who is the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, will join us. Dan Wernsberger, the head wrestling coach at Bucknell, tomorrow at 3:35. We'll have our play-by-play call of the day at 4:06. Bozo of the day at 4:35. And amazingly, we have multiple candidates again.
I got a funny feeling this is one feature that is going to be tough to narrow down some days.
Yes, indeed. We may have 1A and 1B some days. 1A, 1B. May have 1C, 1D.
Oh, boy.
Because there's so many choices. Mark Melancon is reportedly on the trading block for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I think a lot of Pirate fans are stunned by that, coming off a season where he had 51 saves. He's had 100 saves in his last 3 years. Remember, his first year with the Pirates, the first year and almost maybe year and a half, he was the setup guy. The setup guy. He has 100 saves. He had 51 this year. And allegedly, he's on the trading block. Really? It's interesting in sports. I've talked before about, for example, Kevin could never be a general manager because Kevin gets attached to players and gets sentimental about them. That's not a criticism at all, not in the least. But I'm saying that that would probably knock him out of being a general manager. Today's general manager has to be cold. Today's GM has to be cold. And you have to now sit there and make hard decisions and realize what is the shelf life of a player. The St. Louis Cardinals have done this brilliantly for years. They seem to understand the shelf life of their players. The Cardinals rarely, if ever, get burned in a trade. The New England Patriots, perfect NFL example, where look at the various receivers over the years that Tom Brady's worked with. Wes Welker, well, he becomes Julian Edelman. Hey, Randy Moss becomes Danny Amendola. Ben Watson becomes Rob Gronkowski. Look at all the running backs. Lawrence Maroney, Corey Dillon. Now, then you bring in Kevin Falk, who was there for years, Danny Woodhead, Vereen. Now Lewis, who's hurt, they'll go to somebody else. The Patriots, you run through people, and you notice, I mean, how many Super Bowl winners go into the next year with two brand new corners? Browner gone, Revis not re-signing him. And now let's go to the other end of the spectrum, because I'm talking about Melancon. Do the Pirates think that Melancon has a limited shelf life? Just a question. Now the other end of the spectrum, the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies hung on to guys in their core group too long and did not understand the shelf life of Ryan Howard, did not understand the shelf life of Chase Utley or Jimmy Rollins, maybe even of Roy Halladay or of Cliff Lee. And now they're stuck. Because I don't think they understood the shelf life of the players. I'm not saying they got sentimental about the players. I'm not saying that. But they misjudged the shelf life of the players. And that brings with it long-term effect. Now, does it mean that you can misjudge the shelf life of a player and he goes someplace else and does extremely well? Of course. But the really good organizations, and the really good organizations are the ones that just look around and go, you know what? Maybe they got another year in them, but we've got somebody else. I think we can play there the next 4 or 5. Let's just do that. Those are the organizations that appear to be succeeding. It's interesting. It wasn't meant to put down the Phillies, but I think you've got to put some honest analysis with what you're seeing out there. And the really great organizations are the ones that seem to understand, you know what, I can start to see a little bit either between visual performance or analytics, or the combination, more importantly, I think the combination, that the production is sliding just a bit. Do we need to make a move? Next half hour, Jeff Byers, also our play-by-play call of the day. Don't forget the after show. Kevin, 5 good minutes on IndyCar on the after show. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio.
I'm excited.
Sunbury Motors, fourth. I'm excited because it's on the after show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.